This is CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab. My name is Lizo Gumba-Regis for your host, and thank you for tuning in once again. Now, today is very cool when we have this designer exclusives. For those of you who've been tuning into the show, you'd probably know that we do try to plug in into the minds of these brands, where they're coming from inception all the way to where they are today. And I think it's a very interesting space to have and to afford on Fashion Lab Africa, because we definitely care about the business behind fashion. That is what we dissect on a day-to-day basis, and we want to kind of make sure that we can continue to move and win and smile to the bank for that ching-ching. So anyway, before we get into deep, we are definitely joined by some special guests who I will introduce shortly. We are joined by our contributor Edgy Benson, who runs NU New York with his Echoes from New York. Edgy, welcome to the show.
Hi Liz, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You sound fantastic.
Ah, I love it. It's amazing how energy just transcends through. Like, on my bad days, I never hear that. But I guess it's a good day. I'm feeling great, actually. The sun's good. Shining, and spring is here in Johannesburg. In South Africa. So, for you who doesn't know. But, yeah. So, we are springing in every angle. What are you wearing and what's inspiring? No, what are you wearing and who made your clothes today?
Today I am wearing,
and to save us time, should I just say what you're wearing on the bottom, so you just tell us what t-shirt brand you're probably wearing? Or
okay, I'll just go with my t-shirt brand.
Okay, cool.
Why are you laughing there? This is serious stuff here.
Who made your t-shirt? At least let's know that.
Okay, my t-shirt is from, I think it's Uniqlo.
Okay, very nice. So for those who are tuned in on the bottom, he's wearing Diesel jeans. Like I said, Diesel, if you're listening, please, I tell you, I beg, it's very serious here in Africa. And with Edgy being in New York and wearing Diesel for the last 20 years of his life every day, he needs to obviously get a deal of some sort. And I can negotiate the deal, please. So I can also get some little sort of leftovers. But
come
anyway,
on, Edgy,
that is what you do, is you love Diesel, you wear Diesel every day. And we love you anyway.
You're
it's
right.
Okay. We love you and God loves you too. So don't worry, just keep doing what you do.
You got it right.
Okay. Francisca is also joining us with her Echoes from Europe. Francisca Marzilli, welcome to the show.
Hello. I was already laughing before. I think when I listen to the tone of the voice of the AG, I guess he's in love in this period.
No.
Have you seen Leeds? I'm serious. Have you seen the pictures he posts on his Facebook?
Mm.
Oh. The full moon. So
John
romantic.
Got his groove back,
so
like
poetic.
Stella. Mm-hmm. We're gonna find out that love sensation story situation going on there. But Francisca, back to you for now. What are you wearing and who made your clothes? At least you're hard to predict. It might be exciting.
Today I'm not so predictable today because I'm wearing all in white.
Ooh.
And who made your clothes today?
I'm wearing skinny jeans in white and skinny pants white and a white t-shirt of my line Charmis.
My girl.
Very nice. It's good to hear from you guys, and we always appreciate your contributions. Thank you for joining us again today. Now, for those who are tuned in, quick reminder, I've got my favorite segment at the end of our show called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? I call it our red glass of wine. And so, yes, feel free to share with us your who's and your why's. That is our segment that we use to unwind after this heavy Fashion Lab conversations. Keep your tweets coming. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. We are on Fashion Lab Africa on Facebook and Instagram. And we'd just love to hear from you. Now, straight to the matters at hand, on today's show's our fashion exclusive, we're joined by a very special brand. Their design ethos is to celebrate and react authentic women. And because of this, this brand has naturally evolved into focusing more on like size exclusive. Now, their collections are designed to attack haves and the right balance sort of between comfort and style while remaining true to their brand heritage through the celebration of bold statement colors and prints. I don't know who made it to the show, but I know I did. And I was on the front row and I saw very clearly what was going on down that runway. But allow me to introduce Raftang, which is the fashion brand. We are joined by Bridget Pickering and we are joined by Ludwig Bosch, along with they're rolling on an entourage mode. I will introduce the last guest just now, but welcome to the show, Bridget and Ludwig.
Hi, gorgeous lady.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? And let me start with Bridget. First of all, thank you for joining us on the show. What are you wearing and who made your clothes?
It's almost
obvious.
You know what, Liz, when you were asking your team, I was like, I can't lie. I'm actually sitting here in my kickboxing clothes. They are so gross and sweaty, but I've come from exercising to you. And so I'm actually wearing Mr. Price activewear.
Fantastic. You know what, we always allow creatives, especially on this show, an opportunity to be creative with what they're wearing in case they're not wearing what they wanted to wear. So even if you mentioned what you are wearing at Fashion Week or last night, we'd let you slide, but it's okay. It's good. Thank you for joining us.
It's a day in the life of Raftang, right? And then you. How lucky are we?
There you go. But thank you so much. Ludwig, what are you wearing and who made your clothes? You can be creative if you want.
Hi, please.
I'm wearing a Vera Wang gown, darling.
Oh, wow. How fabulous. How fabulous is that? We love.
It looks amazing.
We love it, and we're going to make sure that you also take a picture so we can tweet it as well for our listeners who want to see the detail on the gown. Now, we are also, last but not least, we are joined by a very special guest as well. Like I said, Raftang is rolling on entourage mode, so hey. They have allowed us the opportunity to also bring into the show fashion blogger who obviously really cares about lifestyle and plus size women or bodies. And I think what she's trying to do is spread the body positivity message and encourage style at every size. Allow me to introduce Candice Bressler to the show. Candice, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Candice. Welcome to the show. We can barely hear you.
I'm over here, I promise.
Okay, fantastic. And what are you wearing and who made your clothes today?
I mean, would anything but Raftang be the right answer? Yay!
Yay!
But I at least got dressed for this.
Fantastic. At least you put some thought in. You put some thought and your back into it, honey. We love that. But thank you for joining us on the show. It's really good to have you all, and I think we should just go straight into the matters. I watched the show. I thought it was fascinating. Congratulations to you guys on a beautiful show, and to also just kind of break conventions and really just do what you want to do the way you want to do it, you know? So, first of all, I think maybe Bridget or Ludwig could just maybe share with our listeners your background. It's just interesting to know what or how you got into design and when, as we go further into this conversation.
So, Liz, we've got a really beautiful common denominator between Ludwig and myself. So we've obviously both studied design, and our very first mentors in fashion were Jean-Paul Botha, and he was the creative founder of the Raftang label. So when I finished design, I worked with Paul. He was my very first mentor. And then I left Paul and I did women's wear overseas in London for 15 years. And before back here, we started talking and I said, look, we're coming back to South Africa. Thank God I married a homegrown South African in London. But anyway, it's kind of a very long story short. We sort of turned full circle and he said, you know, if you're coming back to Cape Town, he was based in Durban, he said, let's join forces and let's celebrate this thing called women's wear. And at the same time, Ludwig was already working for Paul, running his design studio. So that's how we, the three of us, sort of hooked up and started working together. And obviously, you know that sadly, Paul passed away a few years into our business plan. So So we really consider ourselves a tribute brand. I always say band, a tribute brand. We've even registered, you know, because we're so good at kickboxing and singing and designing. No, but honestly, on a more serious note, we registered the brand as tribute by Rough Tongue because it's thanks to Paul who opened these incredible doors and allowed Ludwig and I to join forces and to carry on his legacy, which is no mean feat. I mean, the man was a huge creative genius, and to take over someone's legacy, you know, we've had to work damn hard these last couple of years to make sure that what we're doing represents the true heartbeat and DNA of Rough Tongue.
Wow, it's beautiful.
In this purpose, I wanted to ask one thing.
Yeah.
What did move you? Nostalgia, respect, the will of keeping what it was up to then. You could also start again with a new brand. You could also take other decisions. Yeah. What did move you?
I mean, I'd known the man for 20 years.
Wow.
And, you know, his business was his life. So we'd obviously, when I joined the company, we put together a business plan. Rough Tongue at the time was a very niche, occasion wear driven brand, very beautiful in its aesthetic. He put on an incredible show every time. He really knew his customer base. And so we had sort of started to prime it for retail because we were like, it's this beautiful hidden secret that a lot of women out there that are sort of retail really don't know about. So we started to really work together on this business plan. And I think it was continuing that plan and looking back, even after Paul passed away, looking back a year later and then 2 years later and 3 years later, that we were still on track with what he wanted. So we sort of, it's like goosebumps stuff, you know, it's not something you take lightly, it's not something you take on lightly, but we sort of knew between the two of us that we had massive shoes to fill, but, you know, we were confident to relaunch as, you know, as a tribute to him. And I think each year with our first showing back at Fashion Week to this year, I think I'd like to think that the man would be really proud with what we've done, because he gave us every opportunity. He opened so many doors. And, you know, even to backstage now at the show, we did an interview with Top Billing, and this gorgeous presenter said, look, I used to model for Paul, and he was so amazing, and I'm so glad that you guys are keeping this going. So from all his closest people, too, we've had really positive affirmations, because we could have had the flip side.
You could have had the girls screaming, no, help.
All along, we've been very sort of respectful and cautious, and you know, we've asked for advice, and we've made sure that the DNA is alive, and it's honestly, it's no mean feat. It really isn't, and it's a huge thanks to him.
So, Bridget, I want to ask you something.
Yes.
Just along the lines of what you were saying, I mean, because design is such an inspirational thing. So I was just wondering, what would you say was Paul's most compelling element? I mean, what compelled the tribute? Like, from a design point, I mean, what's his unique inspiration to you?
I think personally, as a woman in fashion, Paul used to dress me when I was a baby, right? As in when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And he was the master of form. Like, he knew the female form, no matter what your size, and he could put together the most incredible lines. And nothing can replace that. Like, you can't make that up. You can have the most amazing design ideas in the world, but unless you've got a true understanding of the aesthetic of the woman that you're dressing, it doesn't work. So I think he really has inspired us. And I mean, I have to also hand this conversation over to Ludwig, because Ludwig is the master pattern maker, and he's learned from the best. So I'm going to let him take on your question.
Yeah, so I've worked with Paul. I've worked with Paul for about 8 years before he passed. And I would say the biggest and best ability that Paul had was with every single client that he met, he would take what makes them insecure, pull it out, put it on the table, laugh about it, and then make it go away. He would got big burst and that makes you embarrassed, he would make it go away. Not necessarily hide it. And I mean, he used to say to all the clients, you know, these larger ladies would come in and say, this is what I wanted, my dance or my wedding. And he says, I'm not a plastic surgeon. I can help you with those big boobs. And yeah. I can help you do this and I can help you do that. So I think his, the most amazing thing that he's done is he takes what makes you insecure and he hides and makes you feel better about it. And I think that is what we are doing now as a brand as well.
So
we take what we, yes?
Sorry, go on, Ludwig.
No. I said we take from the people that we dress, is we take what we try and help them so that they can feel amazing all the time. And that's what Paul did.
That's confidence. That's confidence.
So what I want to find
that's
out
so
from
unique.
You, yeah, Ludwig, what I want to find out from you is, do you and Bridget also feel like, other than, because obviously there's, is it, first of all, is it pressure to have to want to make sure that you maintain what he stood for, but then do you have creative freedom and flow where you also continue to evolve this brand as Rafter, as yours now? You and Bridget are also creatives and obviously you've got your flow without it necessarily having to always be aligned to what Paul, whatever clients would expect from Paul or whatever. How do you manage that? I mean, because you also have to thrive as creatives.
So I always imagine Paul used to sit at his big desk and he used to love pink. And he had this tiny little pink ruler. And every single time that I would say something or mention an idea or a design point and he didn't like it, he used to call me over and he used to slap me with the pink ruler.
It had Hello Kitty on it, by the way. It was a Hello Kitty ruler.
So I can still hear him with his little ruler waving it. But I know that he, you know, we design in terms of what he wanted us to do, but we've also taken over. And as designers on our own right, we can't replicate and do what he did. So obviously, you know, Bridget and I have our own aesthetic and our own way of thinking, but we still try and bring a little bit of Paul in. So every now and then when Bridget and I design something, I would say to Bridget, oof, where's that little pink ruler? And we would go, you know what, he either is, he doesn't, but we move on. We turn this brand into a retail. So, you know, it's... Cool.
Yeah,
I would
slap you back. No, but I mean, I think it's a beautiful foundation to launch from. You know, we were all very confident with each other and the way we felt about each other, the way that we worked together. You know, everyone had their place, and it was very collaborative. So, on all our press releases and anything you'll hear about Rafterang. Is that we love to collaborate. Like we are, it's never, you know, with brands where there's like one designer, that's one energy. So obviously to date, we've worked with three and now two. So we collaborate all the time and you get so much more out of it. You get the most incredible opinions. You can debate, you know, someone can like one thing, someone can like the other. And to us, it builds a stronger visual. It builds a stronger brand. And I think it also, you know, two minds sometimes for Rough, well, definitely in Rough Tongue's case, three minds are better than one, and now it's two minds are still better than one. Yes. So I think we all draw off each other's energy, and I couldn't imagine working any other way. And I think we work the same way with Paul, so a lot has changed, but a lot of it has stayed the same.
Let's talk to Candice, who's also a bit quiet there. I know you guys are having wine. I'm very jealous, but I'll just not talk about that. I'll try to focus. I will try to focus on my coffee and the desk right here. Now, Candice, what is your involvement, or how do you, it'd be interesting to know how you also blend in, or why you're working with Rafterang. What is it that draws you to work with them, and what are you doing collaboratively?
Well, I'm a plus size girl. I'm a size 16, a size 40. And I've eyed Rafterang's pieces online and in stores for ages. And actually, we met in March at the launch of Cape Town Fashion. And it was just so amazing meeting the people behind the brand and just what they want to do for women of all sizes. So for me, it was a very, very natural pairing, because positivity and just embracing your figure is something I'm quite passionate about myself, just because I know what it's like to walk into a store and to feel like a complete outsider, where you want something wonderful to wear and just no one caters for you. Mm. So it was a very interesting and natural partnership, because that's exactly what they do. And whether you're a size 10 or a size 40, you're made to feel beautiful, and there's no discrimination based on size. So for me, it was just a very natural partnership to kind of join the Rough Time fan club, so to speak.
Family.
It's family.
It's beautiful. I think the synergy is amazing. Now, with the current fashion retail temperature, what are you guys doing to actually get that Rough Tongue consumer sorted out? Well, how are you getting your brand to the consumer, not just in South Africa but globally? What's happening?
I love social media. I think it's amazing. It's one thing that gets your brand known all over the world. People sitting up and taking notice. We did Fashion Week now, and we collaborated again with Kelly China, who is an incredible musician, and we used music and all his intros, and he won amazing awards overseas at Cannes with Absolute Vodka. So through that, we had like the Absolute Vodka girls in Sweden going, "Oh my God, we have to have your sequins." So it's who you work with, it's how you brand position. But I think for our beautiful core ladies, we in Kenya, we've gone with Diana Opeter. I know you know her. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be launching in her store. And we always get asked this, like, would you like to work overseas? Would you like to get your brand overseas? And us, it's Africa. Like, we want to get into Africa. To us, that resonates. We feel like there's an incredible market. There's so many amazing women out there who are like, we want your stuff. So Africa to us is our first international market that we want to get into. And, as for Europe, worked there for 15 years. There's so many brands. It's completely saturated. We'll never say no, but Africa, let's just see our continent first, and then we'll worry about the rest.
It's beautiful. I love that. That's very patriotic and very good.
I like what she said about, like, Africa's being their first international outlook. Like that.
Absolutely.
it's beautiful.
And you must go. Yeah, and you guys must go and have a listen to the one source Kelly China song that we used. It won awards because the whole song is about taking Africa as a continent and showing the rest of the world how kick-ass it is. End of story. You must look at the words. It's amazing.
It's amazing. I actually experienced it. Edgy, before we go, okay, Edgy, go and I will come. Okay.
Okay. No, because she struck, like, saying she wants to see Africa as, she's taking Africa as her new, as the international approach. Like, this is her international target, Africa. Mm-hmm. So I was just, the same question that Liz had asked, actually, about in this new retail environment. So how would you, Africa is not that heavy online. Mm-hmm. We are heavy, but it's not so practical in terms of delivery chains and stuff like that. So what is your, how exactly would you do this international approach for Africa? How would you go about it, you think?
I think it goes back to collaboration, right? So the reason why we're going into Kenya is that we have collaborated with Diana Opeter. So it's meeting the right people, and it's actually contacting them, and as a brand, approaching people and finding out who are the right people to talk to, who are the right channels to go through, and it's taking them on one at a time, getting to know them, building a relationship. So if you've got anyone we need to speak to, by all means, let us know.
You're like, bring Nigeria and everyone else in the house. But
absolutely. And as people are saying, there's markets in Zim, and there's markets in Nigeria, and there's markets all over. So it's meeting the right people, letting them see who we are, because we're very personable. Like, we 100% believe in what we do, and we need to also show those women, that who we are. So it's a case of brand positioning and the right people.
And also doing the fashion week throughout Africa. Because in King Shasha Fashion Week, we can go showcase in Congo, and through that, we can get a network through in the in upper North Africa. So as a brand, we are thinking of all these channels, and we need to move forward, but we can't just do it in one day. We have to take it slowly.
So I have a question for you guys. Because of the fact that obviously we know that the brick and mortar is not necessarily, the future of fashion is going to be, I mean, online is the new black, and it's not going anywhere. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. And I know that in Africa, like Edgy also mentioned, is in the continent here, we still don't have very high consumption online when it comes to fashion, except maybe for people who are buying brands that they might know from Amazon or whatever, wherever, I don't know. All I know is that the numbers are very low, and therefore the walking traffic into the stores is still quite high, and that's where you might have advantage, especially for places like Kinshasa, places like, there's a whole continent full of stores where people still say, I'm going out shopping to buy a dress. But then at the same time, it's also nice for us as fashion brands in the continent, playing in this continent, to also catch up with the global marketplace so that we maximize on every angle. Otherwise, what point is it, you know, to get into business and then kind of do it one way and then not really pay attention to the other? So what are you guys doing from a retail angle? Are you already, do you have a retail presence, at least in South Africa? An online retail presence? And what stores are you...
Yeah, so I mean, we call it e-tail. The e-tail online, the other Spree is our biggest buyer. They've been incredible. They buy everything. They're hugely supportive. You get a lot of press through them because it's Media 24 that a small brand like Rafchang would not get elsewhere, because obviously you in all their publications. So Spree are amazing. Zander also fantastic. So those, I think, for us, are the two sort of best e-tail areas. And then obviously for retail, we're in the space. So the space has 12 stores nationwide, and like we're in selected stores, and we're hoping to get into more. And then obviously we're in boutiques. So the great thing about retail, like you said, it's the footfall. It's girls coming in who don't know you, trying you on for size. And then once they sort of secure with what the Rafchang message is, then they'll go onto the internet and buy your stuff. So it's a good cross-pollination of the two.
So would you say your sales would be your sales higher online, or do you think it's still more within the live stores?
It's high online. Okay. It's high online. But the difference is, online, they buy 100%. On the retail side, we still consignment-based. So as you know, Liz, that's a killer to any brand. So you've got to be really...
you got to have enough wine.
And we always get asked, you know, when are you going to have a Rafchang standalone store? And we're like, are you mad?
Are you crazy?
You know, that'll sink your business. And also, we love being around our competitors. And it's another word that I think overseas, you're all about your competitors. So, Liz, you would be our competitor. We have the same customer base. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's great to be around that. And then you know that you can cross-pollinate. Mm-hmm. So I think being in a store with a whole lot of South African brands that are, you know, all on your level, it energizes you, it pushes you, it makes you see what's in, what's not in, what's working, what's not working. So retail is very important.
I wanted to ask you something, Bridget. I think it's so important to structure this retail topic a little bit. So, obviously, you know what your goals are, you know what your ambitions are. What would you want? What would have to be on the ground in Africa for you? For it? Because there might be investors listening to us. There might be people who have interest in, you know, supply chain solutions and stuff listening to us. What would be the ideal? What would help you in your ambitions to be in Africa, like more widely?
I think our next step, especially after our Rafchang Inclusive show at Fashion Week, we would love to get into a major retailer. So we would love to, if they're listening, like we would love to, be it Fashini, Donna collaborations, be it Queen's Park collaborations, we would love to get into a major retailer. And then from there, springboard into Africa. Because I think you've got to put your money where your mouth is. You've got to know that you can produce the right units, you've got the right quality and the right target market. So we would love to do Rafchang 4, because our show was, we had such incredible feedback, because when, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but the inclusive mindset is we've dressed everyone from a 32 to a 46. She's got the same style, same price points across the board, and she can experience our fashion the same way. And I don't see anyone else doing that. Wow. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe there are. Maybe they aren't. They're not talking about it.
Can't hear now.
You know, it's a great idea. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, even if they are, they are not doing it the same way. The experience is not going to be the same as Rough Tank. So that's an exclusive. That's totally exclusive to you. And that's because I think what retailers outside are struggling, outside of Africa mostly, are struggling with is just the shopping experience over convenience. And convenience is winning over here, you know? Yeah, in Africa, you have the opportunity to create the shopping experience and still give the shopping experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we were very excited about Diana's new venture because, it'll give us a good insight into retail in another country.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to find out, what are your ethos? What are your values? What is Rough Tank about?
Sorry, you just broke up there for a bit.
Sorry, I just want I just want to find out what your ethos or your values are, just for those who are listening as well, to just kind of see what you stand for.
Yeah, so Rough Tank stands for, like, what we do as a brand is we are all about our clients and our women. I mean, 100% we are inspired by the woman that we dress. So it's you know, we do simple sophistication, we do all sorts of things just to help those girls. We are not all about the
high fashion.
Because high fashion is all great, but we want to dress the woman.
I'm starting to feel offended, and your Vera Wang gown, I will have to ask you to send it in the post now.
But what I'm saying is, my customer, the people that I'm dressing, these are women, down to earth women, and they are scared of fashion. So we are here to help them in terms of, take that mom that's running off from school, cover her lumps and bumps, and make her feel amazing. So we're inspired by those people, rather than dress supermodels and all of the celebrities. We want to dress the
moms. But let me love you, celebrities. We would love you. We love you.
I just don't keep quiet.
No, but it's true. I mean, the core ethos of Rough Tank, and everyone over fashion, because, you know, what inspired your spring summer collection? And we were like, well, it was the women that we dress. You know, everything we've done are florals. So the florals did not inspire our collections. Florals for spring, groundbreaking.
Actually need to open up. Just let's talk about your show that you just showed, the collection, what inspired it. Let's actually just touch on that a bit.
Yeah. So exactly what I've just said, like 100% these incredible women. And our curve queens. Liz, did you see those curve queens?
Of course. I mean, like, that was the only show. Like, the only, if I didn't know the brand, I would know them from the show. Because I'm like, okay, it's the brand that had the big girls walking like it's 2040. Like, nothing's happening. Like, sit down and, like, shut the front door and, like, fasten your seatbelts. It's getting hot. It's beautiful.
Exactly. And when we introduced the whole curve mentality, we've sort of grown organically. So we couldn't have not done it, put it that way. We wouldn't have been true to our customer base if we hadn't have done it. But we don't want to be known as just a plus brand or just a regular brand. We wanted it to be a Rough Tank being for every woman. And our beautiful curve queens gave us the hashtag. They were like, Rough Tank is every woman. Mm. And we were like, damn straight it is. So we had our AFI models that were all a size 30, 32. And then we cast our own models from 34, 36, 38, all the way up to 42. And as those girls hit the runway, the crowds don't lie. They went, you went mental. We love you for being there front row.
Yes.
But it was incredible. And I think it was a case of everything in that show, every size can wear.
And it was a very honest show. It was very genuine. I think for me also, one of the things is it really sets your brand apart, because you're brave enough to do what you want to do. I mean, if the girls need to hang from the tree for the whole show, I'm assuming you could have done that. I think we live in a time where there's a lot of pressure in so many ways, even just from being a part of this industry. And I think that the winners and the ones who actually are set apart and really go far are those who are honest enough and brave enough to say, this is what we stand for. And even though you've got size 32 models, we are going to find, we have to complete the show based on our brief. And then you do it and you tell your story exactly the way you meant to tell it without it being manipulated. So I think that's very, it was brave, it's authentic, it's different in a world full of pressure where everyone wants to do the same thing that everyone else is doing in the same way because that's how it's normally been done. I mean, which other designers would you say, not even myself, would be like, listen, I will cast other size 32 models, trust me, if I don't like the ones I have on the show, on the option during the cast. But how many times do you hear people say, oh, when have you heard that? It's news. That's history in the making.
You know, Liz.
Yes.
No, the thing that you bring a really, like, such a big point in fashion, the honesty of it, you know? Because I feel like we can almost do a show on honesty. Like, yesterday I was at a show. I was at a show yesterday but coming from the high end of fashion and then going to this really, like, really organic, very honest show that this designer is not, she's not ringing the lights out on you, you know? But then it just hits you. Like, this is really honest. You know, they're not playing to an audience. This is just how they feel. And this is the situations that they deal with. You know, so this brand honesty, like design honesty, is such, it's rare, you know. Mm-hmm. At the higher end, it's not, we're not playing to this honesty. At the higher end, we're playing to the lights, mostly, you know.
So it's very difficult in fashion to be very honest. But what we did as a brand at Fashion Week is we honestly did not care.
Yes.
And I'm not... I'm just saying that we are a designer brand who have been given an opportunity to showcase a collection, and we do not care for anyone or anything else rather than our business and who are we selling to.
Yeah, who's our market?
So the media could have ripped into us for putting on plastic models. And I still remember saying to Bridget that I don't mind who goes down that runway as long as it is a show that is from start to finish very professional.
They can walk.
I don't want to hang from the chandeliers or make a big hoo-ha thing. Because you put yourself down the runway. And I said to my 32 models and my 40 size 40 models, I said, guys, you are all equal here. You are models working for me to walk down a runway for me to sell my clothing. And it is my client and my target market that I was aiming that for.
It's beautiful. Candice, what did you think about the show? And what's your feedback? I mean, I'm sure you're excited as well, but what's your two cents on that?
Obviously, from an emotional point of view, it's quite amazing to see a brand embrace you at your size instead of feeling like an inconvenience or an outsider. To actually see someone who represents your body type walk down the runway is a massive step. I mean, I was in the front row. I was on my feet. And to see curves celebrated as a gift, as an asset, not just something to be ashamed of, was an amazing step forward. And I think retailers and designers in general need to start realizing how much impact they have on the body image of the woman they dress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if you walk into a Zara or an H&M where a large is a size 36, I mean, you can buy shoes. I mean, as a plus size woman, there is nothing for you. And that really impacts your sense of self-worth and how you feel about yourself. So to have a brand saying, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you and your size 38, 40, 42, 46 curves are perfect the way they are. And they can still look wonderful, stylish, and fashionable. And let us show you how. That's an amazing step forward. And I really hope that this will be the start of more brands and retailers picking up and saying, listen, there's an untapped market of women who want to look fantastic at a size 16. I mean, 80% of the SA market is a size, 16, 14? We're not a small people. So to have an entire market ignored by brands just makes no sense on an emotional or business level.
Mm.
So to have Rough Tongue as kind of the industry leader on this is a fantastic honor to be working with the brand. I mean, this is a challenge to retailers. Like, up your game. There's a market out there with money who wants to buy clothes, but you need to start providing.
Francisca, what is your two cents?
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to ask you one thing. In a provision of future, in a projection of your brand in the future, is developing a new culture of food, as you know for sure, also in Africa, people knows better and better how to eat in a healthy way, is knowing better and better how to move, what kind of gymnastic do, activities to make a more active life. And this is going to have an impact on the shape and on the sizes also of the consumers of the present and of the future. How do you think you will deal with this? Do you see this in your future or not?
That is such a brilliant question. I have to tell you, because when we started launching our Curve collection, and we did it very slowly on Spree, and we started to talk to girls, and for us to get a lot of opinions, we call it the Curve conversation with all our people, all our ladies, to get what fits, what doesn't fit, what's your lifestyle like, who are you as a person, what do you do in a day, what is your work, what is your play, what exercise do you do?
Exactly.
Then, mm-hmm. And then we started to work with all the Curve, we call them Curve Queens, with Kick and Cuz, Curve Queens. And all the girls that were in our show, we got to know them really well. And never mind Ludwig beating them to death with regards to how they walked on that runway, but we got to know their everyday lifestyles. And these girls, they go, okay, I understand that they are models and they're photographic. They are not runway models. But they are Curve girls and they gym every day. And these girls have got an incredible lifestyle, but they have got curves. And no matter how much dieting or not exercising or exercising you do, that is the way they are fundamentally built. So
yes.
Rough Tongue wants to represent body confidence, regardless of what society says. We are all about making the women feel good about what they've got. And it's not just women in general, it's Candace herself, or it's Jeanette Seister, who is our amazing campaign model, who is a plus model in the industry. Or it's our neighbor down the road, Amanda Vignazia, who runs a huge business, but she's a size 42. So it's making every individual girl, woman, feel like this is who they are, and we will make you feel the best that you've got to feel. Body positivity, end of story.
You know what? I really love that. And I just want to say, for those who are also tuned in, it's all about quality, not size. Because I always say to people a lot of times is, I may be like a size whatever I am, and people will be like, oh, you're so skinny, I hate you. But the truth of the matter is, you're probably healthier than me, and you probably could be four sizes or six sizes. So it's all about quality, not size. You know, it's shocking now that Madrid Fashion Week just banned, they turned away 30% of the models who took part in the previous Fashion Week. And they're literally going to be having medics on hand from September 18th to the 22nd for Fashion Week. And they're literally very serious about this thing. I'm glad they've caught up with it. I mean, I've been talking about banning size zero for 20 years. But they only caught up with it now. So.
You know, what is it saying to the next generation of girl? Without getting on our high horse, you need to think about the message that you're leaving the next generation.
Exactly.
And everyone, they are all types and all shapes and all forms. And I have 11-year-old twin daughters that are involved, and they see it all falling out. They accept it as normal. And you want that message to that next generation of women, is that, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. You are who you are. End of story. That's how we feel.
You know, I'm so happy to have you guys on, and I'm so excited and proud to be having conversations with fashion industry stakeholders who are so honest. And they're having wine on the other side. We're not. We're about to have wine here in a few minutes. But the truth of the matter is, there's the honesty and there's the just being so genuine and so open about this industry. I think is going to be more appealing to people, because people are people. We're not going to become robots. And the sooner we find a way to really connect with people, people, I think the better we are going to have a laugh, not just in the fashion industry, but just generally in life, because people are living like robots, you know, and there's no conversations, there's no real talk, there's nothing except selfies and more selfies on, if I see one more selfie, no, I'm playing.
Oh my God. You will not send a selfie.
Okay, that's fine,
I promise.
But you know, guys, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, but Liz, obviously, even in your own brand, I mean, you get to know the woman that you dress, mm-hmm. and they're everyday women. They're not looking for the holy grail. They just want a nice dress to wear on the school run, to a business meeting, and out to an event. Well, so, you know, it's not a miracle cure. You're not making stuff up. You're just trying to relate to your target market. And our girls are 30s, 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. They're not the young, you know, they have lost their mojo perhaps a little bit. And we're trying to help them find that mojo.
Girl, you bring the mojo back. How can our listeners connect with you guys? It's been so great having you guys on the show. And as we come to kind of winding down, let's talk about where you see Raftang in the next, say, 5 years and how our listeners can actually connect with you.
So we're working hard on getting Raftang, and desperately, I think the only way that we're really going to hit those masses is if we get into retail. I would love to see Raftang as a household name and a big retailer all across across South Africa and across this continent, actually. So in 5 years' time, you will find us on every single street corner, every single mall, and every single big retailer, hopefully.
Especially Ludwig and Balenciaga.
Thank you guys so much. And how can our listeners connect with you? Social media, websites, anything?
So we have a website that's Raftang, which is RUFFTUNG.com. That's our website. And then you can find us with the same Raftang on Facebook and on Instagram. And then Twitter, it's Raftang, Raftang_tung on Twitter.
Yeah, RUFFTUNG on Twitter.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We are not done yet. We are almost done because it is that time of the day. There you go. It is that time of the day. Who would you want to dress and why? I think we're going to start with, I think the most quiet has been Candice or Francisca? Francisca, maybe?
Candice.
Let's start. Okay, Candice, let's start with you. You were voted. Let's start with you. Who would you want to dress and why today?
Obviously, when it comes to plus size women celebrities, the pool is somewhat slim. So I personally love Rebel Wilson, the American actress. Just give me her interpretive mermaid dance in Pitch Perfect and I'm happy. So apart from wanting to be best friends forever, like her in some Raftang sequins on the red carpet would just be the most perfect, like just the perfect match.
So ching, ching.
Rebel Wilson's my girl.
Wow, yay, go. Francisca, who would you want to dress and why?
Today, I would like to dress Mrs. Luis Veronica Ciccone, Madonna, because she came to live here in Lisbon, and I'm very happy that one day I will cross her way.
Thank you very much. Bridget, who would you want to dress and why today?
Okay, I have to do two. One is Anele from Real Talk. I'm obsessed with that woman. I love the gap in her teeth. I love her laugh. She's incredible. And Nele from Real Talk. And then the other one is you, Miss Liz. Oh. Miss Liz, it is you. Ooh. I am coming for you. You better
bring
watch
the sequin, baby. You know me. I like to shine.
Come on,
I'm ready for you. I am ready for you, honey. Come, I'm waiting. Ludwig, who would you want to dress and why today?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm gonna go very, very like predictable, but I'm gonna choose a high profile celebrity, and it is definitely Kate Winslet, as one of my best actresses and also a curvy girl.
Yes,
in her own right. Mm-hmm. And that girl knows how to dress off screen and like in her everyday life. So I'm going to choose big profile celebrity, Kate Winslet.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why besides Bridget, Candice, Liz, and Francisca, and Ludwig?
All of us.
Besides any of us and besides you. I want him
you
to get creative, guys.
All my choices.
Okay, feel free.
No, okay, no, I do want to dress my auntie today in some rough tang. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very
send
nice.
Send us her dress and we'll send her some beautiful things.
It's the prints are amazing.
So I today want to dress, if Cleopatra was here, I would want to dress Cleopatra because she's such an inspiration to me when I think about elegance and grace. And what I would want to do is I would want to dress her, maybe we'll go half-half with raftang. So I'd want to dress her, maybe her skirt is going to be raftang and her jacket is going to be Elise O. So I'm going to go to, let's split this, please. But it's Cleopatra.
The
is my
wow.
So, guys, it's really been really nice having you on the show. Thank you for your time. Congratulations on your last collection and all the things that you have in the bag for the next 5 years or for the next brand life. We wish you all the best. Francisca, thank you for joining us all the way from Lisbon. We love
thank you.
Your contribution.
Obrigada. Ciao, ciao.
Yes, and Edgy. Thank you also for joining us all the way from New York. I think it's really great what you guys are doing. Good luck with your fashion businesses. And until next week.
Thank you.
It is peace and love right here from FashionLabAfrica.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.